welcome to minute 47 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is David Brook of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello, glad to be back.
Yeah, yesterday we were stuck in between V3 and V4, so now we'll have to wait and see where we actually get to. And first of all, before we even get into this minute, I just want to say that we just hit a milestone also. Between yesterday's episode and today's episode, we've actually passed the halfway mark of this movie, which, nice. I mean, amazes me, especially after doing The Great Escape, where the halfway mark was a little bit further along. Let's put it that way, you know. I mean, this movie has 93 minutes. So once you hit the 46 and a half minute, you've hit the halfway mark. But with The Great Escape, you have to get to 86 for that. So we're talking, you know, comparing between, you know, seasons one and seasons two, in order to reach the halfway mark of The Great Escape, it's pretty much almost this entire movie minus the final week.
Yeah.
So it's slightly different. So yeah. So first of all, thank you everyone who's listening. You know, that you've made it this far with us. You've reached the halfway point, and you know it's only going to get better from here. So, minute 47 begins with Neil looking at space V3 on his way to V5, and ends with Neil walking along the highway quite frustrated. So, yesterday, Neil was dropped off by the Marathon rental car bus and told to go find his Lincoln Town Car at V5. So he started walking, and we see him pass V1, V2, V3, and then that's where the minute ended. And today's minute begins with him continuing his journey. And, you know, he sees V3, and then he once again looks at his, I guess you can say, I don't know if it's a receipt or what would you call it? What he's looking at? What's the right term for that? It's probably an envelope. You know what? It's probably like an envelope, because maybe the keys are inside or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. And what's funny is that if you can read what it says there. First of all, there's a in bold letters it says, "In a hurry, you're eligible for rapid return service. See back panel." So Neil's not gonna have to worry about that one, that's for sure. Oh, this is rental agreement.
I was gonna say, I think it is. Because he does throw it down, I think, in this.
Yes.
Might get you later.
Right. And well, that'll probably come back sometime later this week. Probably. And it says on it, you know, his name, it says Page N. And, you know, then it says, we see that the car is located at V5, and then it says car LTD, which is very strange, because, you know, I would say, okay, if it's a Lincoln Town Car, so that's LTC, as opposed to LTD. So I don't really know what that's really supposed to mean.
Oh, see, that as meaning limited, usually, it's like,
maybe.
In the UK, it's in the country, I don't know.
Maybe it could be. And he's walking and he's looking at that. He's not looking at the space. And then, you know, we see he looks at V5 and sees that there's just a skid mark. Yeah. There is no car there at all. Now, this could be very frustrating. I mean, first of all, before this, you see when he's walking towards the car, you see that he's holding his briefcase by the handle. You know, he has a broken handle, and he's like holding it and it's dangling along, which is pretty funny. You know, the way that I would be concerned that it's going to fall if that was me, you know, holding it like that.
I used to have a kind of a travel on bag like that, actually.
That was broken?
Having to rip it off, which is, yeah, it was hanging off, but it was really hard to get it off. I ended up having to use a hacksaw to take the handle off because it was more hassle than it was worth. And then I just had to kind of just, luckily there's like an extra pull out bar at the bottom that I could hold it by that. But yeah, it was very awkward. So I have had that happen on a bigger, heavier bag.
Interesting. So, I mean, you're a music person. So did you, I'm assuming you noticed the fact that the music completely changes as he's looking at this empty space.
Yes. Yeah. And it's also, I don't know if you want to get into this yet, but it's quite odd in that it actually, it's like, it's almost like a hip hop kind of track in the way that it uses kind of samples and things, but also it samples Steve Martin's voice. It samples dialogue from the film.
Right. Okay. That we'll get to later. But I'm saying there's before that starts with the 80s scratch music type of thing. So there's like, you see like a downbeat or something like, or you hear a downbeat, you know, like a wah wah. Right. I'm talking about the fact that it's like a wah wah that he's, you know, that the space is empty.
Yes. You know, sorry.
Right. Yeah. No, we'll get to the other part of it later. You know, that's right. It works out well that you got these minutes so we can talk about the sounds of the music here. Now, watching this part of the scene got me thinking about the fact that how often are cars stolen from rental, you know, from rental agencies and stuff like that in this way? Because it's funny that you see the skid mark there. It doesn't necessarily mean the skid mark just happened.
No.
You know, it's there for effect to make it seem as if someone just stole it minutes before. You know, so what do you think? Do you think it happens often in America?
I kind of feel like it might happen. Oh, no, I was going to say, you do have to give a lot of details when you get. Is this the kind of thing you imagine people would not necessarily steal? I think it'd be hard to steal from the actual car park. But I imagine it's the sort of thing people might steal in terms of renting out and not giving it back. Even though there's a lot of security measures in place, I imagine there's ways of kind of avoiding those. But I wouldn't imagine there'd be a lot stolen from the car parks. You'd have thought they were fairly secure. I guess they're not always that secure.
Right. No, they're definitely not that secure. That's first of all. I mean, I once heard that a lot of times on rental cars, they don't even put they don't put alarms on them. It's not worth their while to insure them for that much. You know, they insure them obviously for accidents and stuff like that, but I don't think that they insure them that much for theft. Now, so I couldn't get an exact number of how many cars are stolen every year from rental or how many rental cars are stolen, but I found some really interesting articles. Apparently, Hertz, the car rental agency, they were sued because they apparently have accused more than 8,000 people of stealing their cars. You know, now what that means is, as you mentioned, you know, the people who rented a car and just never returned it.
Yeah.
So apparently, you know, when they heard this number, the authorities said, okay, that sounds like it's a lot. And they started doing some, you know, investigation about it. And most of these people didn't steal the cars. Apparently there was a glitch in their system, in their computer system, that was flagging a whole bunch of cars as being stolen. You know, some of them were where the you know, whether sometimes the person's payment didn't go through with their credit card or something like that.
Yeah.
And therefore they said, okay, this car is not here, even though it is. Sometimes they, you know, the car was returned to a different lot, so they couldn't find the car itself. Okay. Apparently there are thousands and thousands pages of documentation that they had to give to the court to try and figure out this whole thing. So apparently every year Hertz has 25 million rental transactions in the US.
Wow.
Okay. And apparently 0.014% fall into this, to the category of being cars that are reported stolen. You know, that they're not able to get back. Now, if you look at that number, that means that there are 3,500 cars that are being stolen from Hertz every year, which just sounds to be way too much.
It sounds like a lot.
Yeah. So apparently they realize that, okay, the problem is here in their system, and it's not a problem with people. I mean, there are people who are not returning cars, You know, apparently there's some guy that I read a story about a guy who was at the airport and he was arrested because there's apparently a warrant out for his arrest in Georgia because they perch claimed that he stole a car from a rental agency in Georgia in, you know, in a particular on a particular date. He sat in jail for 24 hours before his lawyer was able to prove that he was actually across the country that day in Colorado and that there was no way that he stole that car.
Jesus.
Yeah, completely.
You
That's
saw
just
that
absurd.
computer system out.
Yeah. Now, apparently, in the Enterprise rent a car, they had one of their employees that was caught where he arranged 11 different rental cars being stolen. When some of these cars were used in crimes afterwards. Okay. Apparently, it was as a guy who works in the Louisville Muhammad Ali International Airport. What he would do was he would park the cars and keep them unlocked in the lot, but he would leave the keys in them, and then friends of his would come and steal it. And apparently, the 11 cars that he stole altogether were worth a total of nearly $400,000. I mean,
Wow.
again, that's just absurd. And then another article that I found was all about the fact that during COVID, there are actually more cars being stolen at airports than there were before. Okay. And when they did a comparison between 2020 and 2021, there was a 125% increase in cars that were being stolen from they used the sample in the Denver
Weird.
International Airport.
You'd have thought there'd be less people traveling on the planes at that time. It's weird.
Exactly, and that there'd be less cars in the lot at the time, also. I mean, that's just.
Although I guess financially it hit a lot of people, so maybe it's just more people in dire straits kind of needing the money and just higher level of crime in general. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just the numbers are crazy. I mean,
A big increase.
they say that in 2020 there were 97 cars that were stolen, and we're not just talking about rental cars. We're talking also about people's cars that are being stolen from the airport, right? And in 2021, in just in the first 7 months, there were 115 cars. So that's just, you know, that's 18 more cars than there were the entire year beforehand.
Crazy.
You know, it's just absurd, these numbers. That's just crazy. And apparently, there are people that you know got arrested for this, and they got a slap on the wrist, and then they caught them a few months later doing the same thing and once again stealing cars. So, you know, doesn't say much about these people. What can I tell you? So yeah, I found that a little interesting. And then, as you mentioned, so after this little beat of music that I referred to, so at this point, Neil just has this look of utter frustration on it. You know, like, what more can go wrong here? You know, how's that possible? And he starts like raising his hands and waving his bags over his head frantically. He's like, he does some really crazy things that you wouldn't expect someone to do if this is what's happening to them. And then he screams out, and then he notices that the bus is still around there. So he starts running after the bus. And as he's running towards the bus, that's when the music changes to what you were talking about. Okay.
Yes, yeah, he's
And
jumping ahead of himself.
yeah, no, that's okay. It's still within the same minute, so that's fine. And, you know, he starts running after the bus and he starts screaming. He goes, hey. He actually says, he says, hey, 8 times. He goes, the car's not there. Like someone could really hear him, right? It's more, I think, for us. And he goes, I need a ride back. And then he screams, God damn it, God damn it, God damn it, 3 times also. And then, as you mentioned, you know, the music changes. We get this like 80s hip hop type of music, which like has like a scratch, you know, like scratching a record type of sounds in there also. And while that's happening, as you said, they actually play a quote from Neil that he said earlier in the movie, which
Yeah, it's
is.
a really odd technique. A
Yeah.
really odd decision. It's a bit unsettling. It's like when it first happens in that
I
scene,
thought
you
it was
kind of
him.
you almost feel like it's bad ADR and they've just not synced it properly with his voice. But then you think, oh no, this is the song. It's really weird. It's very odd decision.
Yeah, you're messing with the wrong guy.
But what I think the music does here as well, it's kind of just in terms of basic kind of filmmaking devices and things. It kind of what it does to me is it kind of this marks, especially as it comes right in the midsection of the film, because prior to that, kind of things have kind of calmed down a bit. As I say, you almost get the you know what's coming in the film, that it's not going to be the case. But in terms of the characters at that point, they kind of feel, okay, they've made some money back. He's going to rent a car. He's going to go back home. Things have eased off. Everything's all right. But then this music, because it's suddenly kicking in with a faster pace, and it's kind of telling the audience that, no, this kind of madcap comedy you were expecting is going to continue now, sort of thing. Neil's misfortunes are not over. It's kind of kicking you into the second half, saying, don't get so comfy. He's still screwed. You can still have some fun.
Completely. And and as he gets upset through this music or whatever, he like throws down his briefcase on the ground. And then you see he takes his ticket, or the rental agreement that we were talking about earlier, and just throws it up into the air, and he like launches it into the air, which is really funny. And then he starts punching the air also as he's jumping around.
It's this kind of moment. It's an over the top moment, but at the same time, I was thinking, it's like, to be honest, if something like that happened to me, well, I wouldn't act exactly the same, but I would probably do. I think chucking the bags around, I probably would do something like that. Yeah. I would be swearing more than he does, but
in this minute,
I guess he doesn't swear now for reasons that we will get to later on another day.
In the week.
But yeah, it's kind of over the top, but relatable, especially what's happened prior to this in the film. Like, I would be frustrated and lose control a bit, I think, as well.
And then after he throws everything down, he throws his hands out in like desperation as he sees the bus, leave this very large parking lot and get back and drive away,
That kind of a pleading hand gesture, isn't it? Like, but yeah. Hands out.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's not cursing him out, just like, I don't know. I mean, it's funny that it happened like this. They do a good job there. No question about that. And then the shot changes and we get to see him walking along the highway with like a lot of cars that are passing along him, by him as he's going by. I mean, this minute doesn't have very many sounds or dialogue from the character itself, but they do such a great job of giving us an impression as to what is going on here.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to point out. It's kind of a nice piece of visual storytelling, really. It's it does so much just with simple kind of montage of shots. So I mean, there is he has kind of got his voice in his head saying V5, blah blah, that kind of thing, which you could argue isn't necessary, because it's all done visually, but it does help. I mean, sometimes you're not always looking at the screen; you might be quickly delving into your popcorn or whatever. So it doesn't harm anything putting that line in there. But most of all, other than that, it's done very visually. So you get your point of view track along the space numbers, seeing that he's looking at all the spaces, 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah. And you get the close-up of the ticket, reminding the audience which
space he needs, looking for. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when he reaches V5, you get a tilt-up just to show for certain to the audience that it's empty. And then you get the reaction shot, and then you cut to the bus driving away. It's just everything you need, just in these simple shots. It's just kind of the beauty of filmmaking and editing, really, in practice. Just simple, effective storytelling just through a series of shots.
Yeah.
Whereas I got on a page in a book, it might take a while just to describe everything that's happening. But this just does it. It's like a bang, 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 a few quick shots.
Yeah.
It's all done. And I'm an editor by trade. So it's just nice to see it in action.
Right. And that's pretty much how this minute ends, as he's walking along the highway with cars, speeding by him. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute, David?
I'll point out another. There's a shot that I like in there, actually. It's repeated a few times. I quite like the shot when he's after the when he's chasing after the bus, you get these kind of nice dolly shots along all the cars, the kind of low angle ones. It's quite an interesting shot. It looks kind of cool. It's got depth to it, but it also kind of emphasizes the fact for me that there's loads of other cars here. So it kind of, it drums home the fact that he's kind of feels like he's cursed in this film.
Yeah. Because
there's so many other cars there. He could have got a ticket for V3. He'd have been fine. He'd be on his own home, but no, he had to have that one empty space when
he had to have the Lincoln around you. He had to have the Lincoln.
Yeah, and that shot helps emphasize it because it's tracking along dozens and dozens of cars that are filling the screen and it even boxes him in. Like when he runs between them, it looks really kind of boxed in by a load of cars. So it does emphasize the fact that he's this cursed kind of individual.
Right. I also like the fact that you can see in the distance the airport. You know, you see planes in the distance.
Yes.
You see planes from TWA, and you see moving planes. It's not just like it's a standing shot. There are things that are going on in the background, you know, that he's close but far, that type of thing, which is sort of, you know, giving us a little bit of an indication as to how far he needs to go at this point, because you can also see the airport in the distance.
Yeah.
So I like the way they did that. All right. So in the script, as you mentioned, it's a little more descriptive, but it mostly describes where this van is the entire time. You know, as it's getting further and further away, as he's trying to catch up and not being able to get there. And I mean, there's a little bit of dialogue there where he screams "son of a bitch," and that's pretty much the only discrepancies that there are in this particular minute. Every day we have this segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about something that happened to one of us along the journey of life. So David, do you have another story for us?
Yes, I will. I'm gonna tell this one. So as I mentioned, I kind of work in video production, filmmaking, and stuff like that. I don't know how many years ago, I used to work for a company called Blueprint Film, which is where the name Blueprint Review comes from our website. And as a company, we decided to go to the Cannes Film Festival one year. We managed to get short film maker passes. We submitted a load of short films to the short film corner, and we were all very excited. We're having a massive company trip, along with some kind of filmmakery sort of friends that we knew, all going to Cannes. We'd rented out a villa and all this kind of stuff, and we were gonna hit the world's biggest film festival. And so it came to the day of going down to the airport. We live in Lincoln, which is it's not really near any major airports. It's a couple of hours away from London, where most of the flights, if you want to get anywhere decent, are usually down in London or further across at Manchester and stuff like that. But our flight was going from Stansted, which is just outside of London. So we all had a bit of an office road trip down to the airport itself. We were in two cars, and we were all ready. We were all very excited. And it's like, oh no, we had to set off fairly early in the morning. So before, we thought, oh, let's go to Tesco's on the way there, and let's just have a bacon sandwich. Let's have some breakfast. Let's do this properly. So we went and had a nice bacon sandwich. It was good. Looking at our watches, we better get going. We get cracking down the road. And then we hit, like, I don't know, maybe about half an hour away from the airport, the worst traffic. It was absolutely horrific, just totally solid standstill traffic, which absolutely screwed us over. And we ended up getting to the airport, and we missed our flight, basically, all of us.
Oh, like, wow.
The entire company, dozens of us. And we were all going to Cannes. We'd paid a fortune to hire out this thing. And obviously, because the festival was on, the flights down there were booked. Like, there's loads of people going to Cannes. But luckily, what we managed to wrangle, because we were desperate, we'd spent so much money to get these tickets and everything, was that we were desperate to go to Cannes. So what we ended up doing, whereas we ended up speaking to the flight operators, I think it was Ryanair, and saying, look, what can you do? And we managed to discover the only way we could kind of get there in kind of that night, or at least within those first two days, was we ended up having to drive back up north to another airport, to Luton, which is, I don't know, 45 minutes away, an hour or something. So we drove to the other airport, and we had to fly to Switzerland instead of to Cannes, which is in the south of France. We flew to Switzerland, a late night flight arriving at, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night or something like that. And then we rented a massive car that would fit us all in, like a sort of a people carrier sort of thing, in Switzerland. And then had to drive throughout the night, like across the Alps, pretty much, to get to Cannes in the middle of the night. So we were kind of sharing car duties. So that was just, that was insane. That was the most horrific journey I've probably had. But we made it. We got to Cannes. We got there in the early mornings of the next day. But we made it. And although the other worst bit of the journey for me was having to, for some reason, I got designated the task of, I think the rental must have been in my name, was I had to take the car back to, not to Switzerland, but to the same kind of company rental place in Cannes. And that was horrible because it was early morning traffic in Cannes, and it was just so busy, and roads were closed off, and I didn't know the city at all. And that was horrific trying to figure out where I was going. I didn't really have sat nav either in those. It was quite a few years before the kind of you use them on your phones. You had to have a proper sat nav, and because I live in the UK, I didn't have a French one, so that was just horrendous. That whole trip was horrible. But once we got to Cannes, it was amazing. I loved it. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a great story. Yeah, thank you very much for giving us that story. All right. So, David, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
I run blueprintreview.co.uk, a website reviewing lots of indie classics, cult and world cinema and things like that. Interesting movies, so check it out.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that might be using to listen to this show. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find our website, you can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter. So, until tomorrow, you're
fine. You're fine.